In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I'm looking at Isaiah 60, and the scripture says, "Arise, arise, shine forth, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the whole earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the light of glory, the light of glory shining on the face of Jesus, and the light of glory shining on the face of the martyrs. We saw that glory yesterday when the light of glory was shining on the face of Stephen. His face was like that of an angel. But let me tell you, today in Pakistan, and yesterday on Christmas Day, 2 days ago on Christmas Day, the pagan people, those people destroyed a church and killed a priest. But not only that, in the last several days, many churches in Pakistan, brothers and sisters who are Catholic and who are Baptist, their churches have been destroyed by the Taliban, destroyed by fanatical Hindus. Oh my Lord, these are our brothers and our sisters. Like Stephen, their face shine with the glory. Their faces shine with the glory, for they have died for him. They have died for him. Isn't it so interesting that on the Feast of Stephen, the 26th of December, that the church gives us the first martyr? And isn't it interesting that again, that we hear about what happened in Pakistan, our brothers and sisters who are Christian, who are Catholic, who are Baptist, have died for Jesus. And they, their churches and their schools have been demolished. Our Lord Jesus says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Oh, now these brothers and sisters are the martyrs of this day. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. And behold, no more darkness shall cover the earth, and no more darkness shall cover them. No more darkness, but the Lord will arise upon them, and the glory will be seen upon them. My Lord and my God, we have no idea how God's people are persecuted in Pakistan, how God's people are persecuted in India, how God's people are persecuted in Indonesia, how God's people are persecuted in Nigeria. We have no idea because we live in such a comfortable zone at this point. But I must tell you, these men and these women are the martyrs of today. They are the ones that have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. They are the ones that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the ones that have gone through the time of tribulation and have washed their robes and made them clean in the blood of Jesus. These testimonies of the good people, the good faithful Catholics and Baptists that have given their life for the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to know that because no one will tell you that. You know why? Because they are poor, because they do not count in a rich country. But I tell you this, in the eyes of God, they are the richest of the rich. They have found someone worth living for. They have found someone worth dying for. They have gone through the time of great persecution. They have held out to the end. Even though darkness covered them, the light shone around them, even as the light shone around Stephen. Today, let us ask these brothers and sisters who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, to pray for us, for they are before the throne of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They are before the throne of God. How do I know? Because as martyrs, they have joined their blood with the blood of the Lamb. My Lord and my God, I ask that these martyrs, I do not even know their names, the very priests and the very Baptists that have died for Jesus, that they would pray for me and any one of us, that we too would find someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. And his name is Jesus. Lift up your eyes around about and see that all gather. Together they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. I tell you, when they were before the throne of God at the moment of death, they had the abundance of the glory. They had the abundance of his mercy. They had the abundance of his radiant heart. Oh, Lord, these martyrs that are just fresh martyrs now are before the throne of God. I pray today, Lord, that you say in Isaiah 60, that last verse, I am the Lord, and it is time that I will hasten my word. Oh, Jesus, hasten your word. 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 For the sun shall be no more your light by day, martyrs, nor the brightness shall the moon give light to you by night, martyrs. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, martyrs, and your God will be your glory. Hallelujah. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The shoot of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. For I am the Lord. It is time. I will hasten it. I will fulfill my word. I just needed to do that today, because when you find out that brothers and sisters have bled and died in persecution for the sake of Jesus, they need to be acknowledged, and I call upon their prayers. For if nobody else wants their prayers, I want their prayers. Oh, isn't it wonderful? The sun shall no more be their light, nor the brightness shall the moon give light to you by night, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. All from Isaiah 60. All from Isaiah 60. My Lord and my God. be so wonderful to these brothers and sisters who have laid their life down for you and for your son. Today I want to look at John's epistle, because the church will now, during this Christmas season, give us this beautiful epistle of St. John. And St. John writes, "That which was from the beginning." Remember, in the beginning was the Word, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. John is trying to tell his people that the incarnation was absolutely real, that Jesus became a human being, that it was not some kind of a phantom, even in the resurrection. Remember what he said to Thomas, "Come and place your hands in my hands and your hand in my side, and do not stay in your unbelief, but become a believer." That which was from the beginning, that's the Word, which we have heard. The Word which we have heard, because he came, became flesh. Which we have seen with our eyes, because he came flesh. We have looked upon and touched with our hands, because he became flesh. Concerning the Word of life, the life was made manifest, and we saw it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. This is eternal life, to believe in the one true God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come so that we might have eternal life. Eternal life is this, to believe in you, Father, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is what this life of grace is all about. You see, because our life will continue after we die. Our life will continue. These martyrs of Pakistan, these Catholics and these Baptists now, have experienced fully the eternal life that was always with the Father and that Jesus has come to give us. Eternal life. And you know what? We already have that eternal life. Not fully, because there's more in store, because the kingdom has not come completely. But eternal life is this, to believe in the one true God and Jesus whom thou hast sent. In the old baptismal rite, they used to ask the godparents, "What do you ask for this child?" And the answer was, "Eternal life." Oh, we forget about that eternal life. We get all caught up into the wealth, into the health. And I'm into the health, and I'm into what God provides. But you see, the greatest thing that God provides in Christ and through his cross and through his death and resurrection is eternal life. "And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father," that's the Word, "and was made manifest to us." That's when he became flesh and dwelt among us. That's because he pitched his tent among us. This eternal life was in Jesus. This eternal life is Jesus. Jesus gives eternal life. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, he who eats me shall live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, unlike the bread that your fathers ate and died. Those who eat this bread will live forever." Hallelujah. Eternal life. "And the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world to come." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal life is this, to believe in the one true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And he was made manifest in the flesh. He was made manifest in the flesh. He pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. For John says the law came through Moses, but this grace and truth, this covenant love comes through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! For the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus, and we have beheld his glory. We have beheld him. We have touched him. We have seen him. We have looked upon him, and we declare this eternal life to you, that your joy may be full. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, manifest your glory. Oh, Jesus, manifest your presence. Oh, Jesus, reveal yourself to people who do not know you. Oh, Jesus Christ, we love you. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you that you did not stay in heaven, but you literally gave up the glory, and you became one like us in all things but sin. And John says, I want to proclaim this eternal life that was with the Father and has been made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. This is so important. That you would be our brothers, that you would be our sisters in the believing that God has manifested his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have seen his glory, the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus, the glory of God who pitched his tent among us. For as the Israelites went through the desert with the tent of meeting, we now see that Jesus, as the true God, true man, has pitched his tent among us. Hallelujah. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Oh, covenant love. This covenant love that comes through the Son. This covenant love that comes through the Son. Oh, John says he was not a phantom. He was not a ghost. He was not an angel. He took form of a man. He took the form of a man. And we could touch him, and we could smile at him, and he would smile back at us. And oh, within this one was true God and true man. Hallelujah. We want you to have fellowship with us and with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we want you to have fellowship with God, the Father, and the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit and with us. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. What greater joy is there than bringing people into the knowledge, and I'm not saying head knowledge, I'm talking about experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. What greater joy is there in bringing people into the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ? What greater joy is there when my friends in New York or in the Bronx, Dr. Tom and his beautiful wife go down to Harlem, and she holds the cross, and oh my Lord, Lynn holds the cross and tells the people in Harlem about Jesus. You know what she says? She says, what is greater than that? There is nothing greater than that. She says, that's the best. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. She's a doctor of theology. He's a doctor of theology. They have been caring for the poor for years and years and years. They go down to Harlem with the big cross. They feed the people, and she talks about Jesus. She has on her, I will pray with you if you would want me to pray with you. She says, it can't get any better than this. We are writing this that our joy may be complete. Why? Because when another people come to believe that we have touched him with our hands, and we have seen him with our eyes, and that he's the one that gives eternal life, oh, and they join our fellowship and the fellowship with the Father and the Son, my Lord, what greater joy is there? What greater joy is there? There is no greater joy than to reach out and to make converts whose lives completely get changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. What greater joy is there? I just want to tell you, I have no children physically, but the greatest joy is when all these beautiful children that have heard the word of God through my mouth and through my broken heart, when all these beautiful children come and I see their lives and I see them struggling and I see them wanting to press in even when they struggle. Ah, what greater joy is there? For my fellowship is with Jesus Christ and with the Father and with them. And their fellowship is with me and with the Father and with Jesus Christ. What greater joy is there? There is no greater joy. Like, what is there, you know? One woman called me up and she told me, she said, Father Tom, she says, I'm about to win a court case and I'm going to get $40 million and I'm going to buy you automobiles for your ministry. Well, you know, even if she does that, I'm going to tell you, the greatest joy is not automobiles. The greatest joy is when people come into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with us. That's the greatest joy. There is no greater joy than that. When another person comes to receive our Lord and the forgiveness of their sins, when they come and confess their sins and give their life unto the Master, the Christ, the Redeemer of the world, what greater joy is there? There is no greater joy. When someone leaves a life of sin and leaves a life of selfishness and leaves a life of, how do you say, just boredom, and then they put their hand to the plow and they continue to press in and to press on and worship God and hallelujah, what greater joy is there? There is no greater joy. That is the joy of the priest. That is the joy of the priest. I'm going to tell you, that's the joy of the priest. I hope every priest knows what I know. I hope every priest knows what I know. That joy of people coming into this wonderful fellowship with the Father and the Son and with us, His church, and oh, their lives being changed, and they press in and they struggle like the rest of us, but they continue to press in. What greater joy is there? If you're a priest and you don't know that, I want to bring you into that. I want to bring you into that so that you'll have children, many spiritual children. That's what it's all about. Father Matthew knows what that's all about. Father Matthew knows what that's all about. Father Mark Ballard knows what that's all about. Father Vincent von Hugh, who's getting better and better, thank you, Lord, he knows what that's all about. Father Dan Toomey, he knows what that's all about. Hallelujah. Having spiritual children, having children that are in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Hallelujah. My Lord, what better is there for a priest? You see, the priest is not, you know what my title is? I'm going to tell you Father DiLorenzo's title. He is the administrator of the Holy Rosary. I wouldn't know how to administer anything. I'm the pastor. I bring people into relationship with our Lord by the grace of the living God. I don't keep the books. I'm not into the books. Other people do the books. They do a good job, not me. I'd go have them go bankrupt. I'd give it all away. What greater joy is there? There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy. And so many priests don't know this joy. So many priests don't know this joy. It's sad. That's very sad. They are called father, and they have no children. What greater joy? I have a woman, beautiful woman that we've been praying with, Elaine, who has cancer. And when she writes to me, she writes, your spiritual daughter. I remember the two kids, Thomas and his sister, up in New Hampshire. Thomas went to see the tomb of a great martyr, and he brought me a stone from that tomb, and he wrote, your spiritual son. He was only 11. No one taught him how to write that. Your spiritual son. My God, what greater joy. That's exactly what John is talking about. When he says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and your fellowship is with us, and with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and we are writing this that our joy may be complete. That's right. We'll continue with this tomorrow. You know, yesterday was happy feet. I hope you're going out and tell people about Jesus. Maybe you can get some beautiful spiritual children. Oh yeah, what greater joy is there? There is no greater joy. And priests, if you're listening to me, bishops, if you don't understand this, I'd love you to come visit me. I know how to do it. I know how to do it. You bear your heart to the people. You give everything. You don't hold back anything. You live totally for Jesus and on Providence. And you see God at work. I know how to do it. Because I'm broken enough to know how to do it. Listen, tonight is Thursday. It's the Feast of St. John. I'm having a surprise mass at 5:30 tonight. Now, this is a different time. It's 5:30. 5:30. Surprise mass at 5:30. I have not celebrated mass today. You know why? Because I was in the office and I want to have a surprise mass at 5:30. So you're welcome to come to the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. It won't be long. It'll only be a half an hour. But we'll worship the Lord if you want to come at 5 o'clock. We'll do some praises too. 5 o'clock praises and 5:30 mass, okay? You're welcome because I want to have fellowship with you and with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Why don't you come tonight at 5:30? It would be a wonderful time. 5 o'clock worship and 5:30. The Blessed Eucharist will be celebrated. And if people want to stay, I'll put the Blessed Sacrament out. You can adore him until the cows come home. He loves that kind of stuff from his children. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just hope that you're listening, and I hope that you contribute so that we can pay our bills, you know. And, you know, that's all we want to do is to pay our bills and just to get by and just to praise the Lord and to bring people into fellowship with Jesus. God bless you. Behold,
I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.